Hello and welcome to the Talk to Joe Guidance Podcast, where we talk to people in different careers and how they got there. For more information, follow me on Farley Career Guidance on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Hello, welcome to the Talk to Joe Career Guidance Podcast. On the show today, I have Rob O'Hanlon, who is, he's all things to all men at Joe.ie. Rob, how are you doing?
Not too bad, Joe. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Would you mind telling the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Rob. I'm 29 years old. I'm kind of in the middle of a pretty big career change at the moment. So around about this time last year, I decided to step away from my teaching job. I'm an English and history teacher. I knew your good self in college, Joe.
A while ago now,
yeah. But I'd always kind of worked part-time in media, and an opportunity came up then, this time last year, to move into that full-time. And I decided to take the jump on it. So I've been, like you were saying, all things to all men, as you kind of have to be in media these days. So there's a lot of changes in the last year through the pandemic and everything else. So kind of moving between sports Joe and Joe at the moment. But that's my job at the moment. Kind of bed into everything COVID and just trying to muddle my way through.
Absolutely. Can you tell me a little bit about your job title?
Yeah, so I was hired as a producer and a presenter. So effectively what that means is a producer does everything that you never see. But if it wasn't for them, then any of the media that pops up wouldn't exist. So that can go from anything from picking guests, selecting guests, contacting them, getting them on. It can be in terms of like really, really practical admin stuff. Like it can be booking studio time or arranging meetups or whatever that might be. It can also be deciding what actually gets talked about, whether they're talking points, whether it's doing some of the research as well. A producer really does, like I said, everything that you could ever want to make something exist, but you'll never see anything of them. And then obviously presenter, I think, kind of speaks a little bit for yourself. So the thing about that is that they're two very, very distinct roles. But in media at the moment, everything is quite stretched. So you'll find that a lot of people do a lot of different jobs. So I've had jobs and had roles where I've been a producer. I've had, I worked on a hurling show last summer with Lara Corbett and Derek McGrath. And I was literally just a producer. So I was doing all that kind of stuff, getting everything ready and linking in with the presenter and the guests and stuff like that. I've had presenter gigs where I'm literally just presenting stuff, and I've done that for live events. And I did it for Premier Sports for their Premier League coverage there a few months ago. And I've had jobs then when it's been both, we were producing and presenting, and that can be kind of little kind of short 3-minute videos that I've done on a few different topics. But also then I did it for like a rugby show during the World Cup. So that's my job in a nutshell. But like I was saying, media roles at the moment are so fluid. So you're kind of expected to do everything. So in my role in the last year, I've also done things that you would expect a reporter to do, which would be to go out to live press conferences and take quotes and do reports from there. I've also done feature writing. I've done news writing. You're kind of expected to do a hell of a lot of stuff at the moment. So your job title, while it's very, very distinct, and like I said, a producer and presenter are very, very distinct roles, you kind of end up doing a lot more than what your job title maybe suggests.
Well, Rob, if I can take you a few years back, can you kind of tell me what you were like at school and what kind of subjects you enjoyed?
Yeah, I've been thinking a little about this. I really enjoyed school. I know that's not a cool thing to say. do kids still say cool? but I did, like, I enjoyed the subject and stuff like that. So for me, the problem was, and I worked hard in school, and I got a decent leaving cert. But the problem was is that I never knew what I wanted to do. And to be perfectly honest, you still don't. But look, I was my two favorite subjects in school from pretty much when I was in primary school right the way through were English and history. So when I left school, I kind of looked around and I said, look, I don't know what I want to do here. I had the points to do a couple of different courses, and I thought about journalism, I actually thought about law. And I said to myself, look, you don't actually know what you want to do here. And my parents were excellent and really, really helpful in that regard. And what I did was I went and did an arts course, and I studied English and history. You know, I picked my two favorite subjects and I said, let me see what I can do with these. So that's why I kind of moved on to those. But like, as well, what was I like when I was at school? Look, I worked hard, but like, I think as well, like, you have to do, school is about as much things outside the classroom as it is anything else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, you know, I would have been involved, played a lot of Gaelic football, involved in a couple of the school dramas and stuff like that. And they're quite often the things you remember when you leave school, I think, as well.
And so, if you think back about it, can you remember what your CAO was like or what the experience applying for it was like?
Yeah, it was difficult. Like I said, I find the concept of the CAO and the points and everything, like, it's very difficult because you're being asked to make a decision that could potentially affect what you want to do as a career. And it does, it directly leads to that. And it's hard because at times the CAO can feel like just something you have to get out of the way and then go back to do your math homework. Do you know, when actually it's something that you should take some time and consider and talk to a lot of people around. I found it really daunting, and I changed a couple of times what I wanted to do and the colleges I wanted to go to. I found it really, really helpful to go to open days. I found it really helpful to talk to people who had been to those colleges, and I learned a lot from that as well. Because it can seem incredibly daunting, and I think the best thing you can do is to do as much research as you can, and like I said, give it the respect that it deserves, because it's a big decision. So, and I think as well is looking at all of your options and maybe thinking a little bit outside the box. And I think the best thing I was ever told was you treat it like a wish list. You know, you always put the one, whatever college course and whatever college you want to go to, make sure that's your first one, and that's, fill it out all the way down, and make sure it's full of stuff that you want to do.
That's really good advice. It's an order of preference. It's a phrase that anyone that I've worked with will remember. Now going back to what college life was like for you, you said you did arts, so you did English and history. Like, did it take up much of your week? Did you just focus directly on college? What was college like outside of the classroom?
Yeah, so I decided to go to St. Pat's in Gymkhandra, which is traditionally a teacher college, and a lot of people know it as primary school teaching. It actually doesn't exist in its current format anymore. I love being able to say that. It makes me sound much older than I am.
A lot wiser.
But when I went there, you could do arts the same way you could do it in UCD and in other places as well. So you selected three subjects. You did all three in first year, and you dropped one for the next 2 years. So I did English and history for my 3 years, and I did French for a year. And then I decided that trying to analyze French art in French when I could barely order a Coke wasn't the course for me. So I really liked Pat's because it was a smaller college, so that kind of suited me, and it was a very GA mad college. Again, that suited me as well. So an arts course traditionally would take up maybe your class time, is what it's called, or your lecture time, whatever. It's probably somewhere between 10 and 15 hours a week. Now, that doesn't sound like a hell of a lot, but there's a lot of work involved outside in terms of your reading and stuff like that. So you will get people who slag an arts course, but there's a fair bit of work in it. But it did, it allowed me a little bit more freedom in terms of what I wanted to do maybe outside the classroom. And I was actually doing, like, working part-time in a bar, and I was also doing a little bit of writing as well for a few online blog websites. So it allowed me the little bit of freedom to kind of build up a portfolio of work as well, which was great. But also gave me freedom as well, that I wasn't, you know, 8 hours a day in college and bed into something that I wasn't enjoying. I was in college as much as I kind of needed to be, and studying something I wanted to do, and then also work in an area that I wanted to work in as well. So look, I really enjoyed college. It was a very different experience then when I went on to do my teacher training course in Trinity. Like, that was a year, and it was just very intense. It was, you remember it yourself, it was 2.5 days a week, flat to the mat kind of lectures and tutorials. And then the other 2.5 days you were in working in school, and the other 2 days of the week you were getting stuff ready for everything else. You were kind of trying to do two jobs at once in a week that just didn't have enough time. But like that, the real college experience for me came in my undergrad when I was doing arts and paths. And now it was brilliant because, like I said, it just gave me that little bit of freedom to do what I wanted to do while also studying something I enjoyed.
And would you say college prepared you for the world of work, or how would you phrase it?
I think all forms of education prepare you for the world of work. I always think of the example of, and I think I remember saying it in school myself, and I'm sure it's still a thing, which is people look at maths, I feel in particular, and they say, when am I ever going to use algebra? Or they might look at geography and say, look, when am I ever going to need to draw on Oxbow Lake? But you have to sometimes look behind the information that you're being given in school and college and look at the process and the skills that you learn. And you learn about, like, you know, stuff like time management and hitting a deadline. And you look at the fact that sometimes you have to learn something completely new that you've never had a concept of before, or the ability to multitask or whatever that might be. So I think quite often you can get bogged down when it comes to education. And like I said, be that college or in school, that we're so worried about what we're learning and we're not thinking about how we're learning and how we're doing it. So sometimes the information of that kind of came second. So college definitely did. It prepared me in other ways in that, you know, not 10 to 15 hours a week. I could go back to that. I never take it for granted again. But it 100% does. College in a lot of ways kind of gives you a few years as well to work out a lot about who you are and what you want to do. And that will always play a huge role if you want to be happy in what you do and if you want to be successful in what you do.
Absolutely. Rob, what tips would you give to someone who is looking to get into your current line of work?
My current line of work. The biggest thing I will say is that just constantly be doing. So there's a lot more opportunities now, I think, for anyone who is interested in getting involved in media, be that news reporting or sports journalism, whatever it might be, in that, like, say, for example, I remember when I was a kid, I used to write like match reports, watching a game or whatever it might be. But you now can literally set up online portfolios and blogs and do that for yourself and go back and look at your work and learn from it. So I'd always recommend that, to always, you know, keep trying to keep writing if that's what you want to do. If you like presenting, pop a camera in front of yourself and set up a YouTube channel and record yourself. You don't even have to set up public, like it can be just for yourself, just to get used to it, but constantly be doing stuff. And also, like I was saying earlier, have an ability to do multiple things. Like I used the recent lockdown to learn how to edit videos, and I've never been able to do that before, but that's made things a hell of a lot easier for me in my work. And then again, it's another string to your bow. If you're interested in working in media, then you need to be able to move across a lot of different disciplines. So being able to write and being able to edit or being able to be in front of a camera or whatever that might be. And the other thing I would say is that you need to have a little bit of a brass neck, and you need to ask for opportunities and talk to people. If you've any kind of connection to anyone in the industry, don't be afraid to ask for a little bit of help or a little bit of advice or whatever that might be. And the last one I'll say is, and I think it's a good advice for anything, is just be honest with yourself. If this is something that you really want to do, you're going to have to work hard at it, and you're going to have to be better than the person beside you who also wants it. And you're going to have to dig a little bit deeper than they are as well. And that's just good advice for anything. But specifically to media, like I said, keep working, keep writing, keep putting the camera in front of yourself, and keep making sure you're always improving what you can do and kind of adding as many strings to your bow as you can.
Rob, that's really, really good advice. If anyone is looking to kind of follow you or get information, have you anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, you can grab me on Twitter. I'm at Rob O'Hanrahan. That's probably the easiest way to get me, because it seems to be where I spend most of my time these days. And my DMs are open on that as well. So no harm if anyone wants to pop in and ask any more questions.
Brilliant, Rob. Listen, thank you so much for doing this. Have a good one.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Talk to Joe Guidance podcast. If you have any questions, follow me on Farley Career Guidance on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I hope you found the content valuable, and have a good day.